Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk on this outstanding weekend. It's going to be nice this weekend. It's April 3rd, so it is, we made it through April Fool's Day, but we ended up with some snow, huh? And actually, I was talking to Derek a little bit ago. Derek, how did snow play into the Tigers opener?
Well, it's funny you should ask. Miguel Cabrera, the Tigers' big power hitter, he had an opposite field two-run homer in the game, and he never saw it go out of the ballpark. He slid into second base thinking it was a double, but then the umpires, they went and checked the replay, and sure enough, the ball did just clear the fence out in right field. So it was certainly a very interesting play.
And he couldn't see it because of the snow, right?
Yeah, there was all of a sudden some snow flurries coming down, and it kind of blended in with the baseball, and he just lost track of it. He knew it was a hit for sure because he never saw it go into the outfielder's glove, so that's why he ended up sliding into second base.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, and that can happen on opening day for the Tigers because it's springtime, but it's still kind of winter too, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of have this interesting word for April. I kind of call it sprinter because a combination of spring and winter. That's kind of my term for it because it always seems like April, always in Michigan, seems to have some effects of winter to go along with spring.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I can remember we were chatting a few minutes ago. I was at the opening game, and I didn't remember what year it was. I was at the opening game at Comerica Park, the first one. And Derek, how long ago was that? That was what year?
2000.
2000, 21 years ago, I was at the opening game at Comerica Park, and it snowed, and it iced, and it rained, and it was a terrible, it was a fun game, but I mean, you know, it was, I guess I'll never forget that. And I actually have a picture. I was walking through Sam's Club one time. This is maybe 10 years ago, and they had maybe 20 years ago. I don't know exactly, but it had a big mural of the opening pitch, first pitch at Comerica Park, and it was taken from a position on the first baseline. And I can look right down, actually from up above, and I can look right down, and I can see me in the picture. So it's in my basement now. So I think that's, and it was cold and we were wearing winter coats and it was icing and stuff like that. So pretty interesting. Not for a gun show though. It's kind of boring for a gun show probably, but let's talk about gun shows here while we're at it. This is, by the way, yesterday and today is the opening gun show at the Suburban Collection in Novi. So if you're looking for a gun show, normally it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but they're saving us from ourselves by only having it on Friday and Saturday, because I can just imagine tomorrow morning there'll be guys going, putting on their coat, and their wife's going, "Where are you going?" And he's going, "Oh, I'm going to the gun show." "No, you're not. It's Easter. You're going to church. You can wear your Elmer Fudd hat, but you're going to church with us, okay?" So at any rate, the Novi Eastern Gun and Knife Show is at the Suburban Collection this week. Let's see. Ohio's got a couple, and we have got the Camp Michael Gun Show in Bucyrus, Ohio, at Camp Michael Scout Camp, the Springboro Flea Market, and the Tri-State County Gun Show in Lima, Ohio. Missouri's got a couple, the St. Louis International Cartridge Show. Now, that sounds interesting. Not gun show, but cartridge show. That would be kind of neat. Maybe it's antique cartridges, which a lot of people tend to collect things. I have some old boxes, and I've got some old 45s from 19 14, I think it is, still in the box. And I got a friend of mine actually just gave me a box of 30-06 that was original, you know, from CMP unopened and stuff. So that's kind of cool. Let's see. And they've got, so the also the Washington County Fairgrounds in Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is must be on the line with Missouri. And then New York. You do not have one this week, but you do next week. You have the Babylon Gun Show. So in Babylon, that was Babylon 5, wasn't it? That's a Star Trek reference. So I don't know where Babylon is, but it sounds worth going to. Let's see. We got a new set of numbers this week. And it was, and I want to say from the CPL standpoint, we're up 10,000 this month, which means they're catching up. And you know what's interesting here is that we raised and went up 10,000. So we're at 735,554. We also actually went up 13,000 in expired. But even though we had 13,000 expired, we still had 10,000 more than last month. So you know what? I mean, we are having like 20, 25,000 per month of people signing up here in Michigan and getting their CPLs. They've still got a pretty big backlog of 10,800, which tells you they are just pouring in. And why is that? Well, because whenever the people start talking, we'll talk about this in a little bit, but when people start talking about, you know, gun control, gun buybacks and banning guns, and also you add the pandemic in with it, people just go nuts in trying to buy lots of guns and get certified and stuff because they want to get done before, you know, think about it. If Biden, and I think I mentioned this somewhere today, I've got 57 pages that I'll probably get to 10 of them. But at any rate, the gun bans and things like that, you know that if they come out with an executive order for banning guns and various things like that, that it will be immediately slapped with lawsuits and it'll be delayed for a couple of years. And then by that time, we'll have won back the Senate, because you know what's happening is take a look, and actually probably the House too. Take a look at all the stuff that's going on. You can't believe the things that are going on with this administration. I was just, I'm just sitting here this week watching where Pete Buttigieg, however he says his name, I don't even want to use the derogatory term that people use for him, but at any rate, he's talking about, you know, oh, let's the gas tax doesn't work anymore for mileage and things like that. So, you know, we need to have things on cars that'll tell us how many miles you drive. And, you know, they said, well, you know, you could come in every quarter to the Secretary of State's office, and they could have a government guy come out and read your odometer, and then you can pay your tax bill that way. Or, you know, we can put a GPS on it, and then not only will we know how many miles you drove, but we'll know exactly where you went. And if you decided to go to, you went to a gun show last weekend. We can't have that. So there's the gun show tax now on it. It's just amazing. So I think keep it up, the Dems and you lefties, with all your crazy, crazy socialistic kind of things, and you will see a backlash like you won't imagine. That is, of course, if we can keep the election fair and honest and not stolen. So let's see. By the way, I got an email from a listener who, and we've talked about him before, that he was his kids had to wait like 13 months to get a CPL appointment, and that did get pulled ahead up until to July, which is good. But do you know that just yesterday, a lawsuit seeking to require Wayne County to accept and process CPL applications in a timely manner has been put forward? So I want to say they're not going to be able to hold it up much longer. We've got Ed from Ypsilanti talking with a comment about Pete Buttigieg. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hey, Dick. Just great. Well, you know, I don't want to get off guns too much. I do have a gun comment or two. But I just saw this morning in the Blaze that Pete Buttigieg was caught pulling a bicycle out of the trunk of a vehicle like a block or two away from the White House so that he could be seen riding the bicycle to work.
I heard that on the news yesterday. I heard that there's a video of him with four, mind you, SUVs pulled up a couple blocks away from the White House or from the Capitol. And then, like you said, you got the bike out of the back of the SUV, and then he rode so that he could have an image of him riding to work. It's crazy. You know, you can't get away with that stuff with everybody with with cell phones. So,
oh, there are better. They're so much smarter. But I saw a meme. I think it was yesterday. It might have been this morning. It all runs together. But it was beautiful, and it said the socialists are trying to get rid of the Democrats are trying to get rid of the one thing that came out of socialism that worked, and then it shows a picture of a Kalashnikov.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's actually, they had a lot of guns. They're still like a Mosin Nagant. You know, of course, a Mosin Nagant was made in 1899, and that was before the Communist Party, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And the CZ.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, the
yep.
CZ is the model for so many guns, so many handguns today, if not the Bren. But
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of good guns. They were simple guns. With the Soviet military, they kind of designed them for the lowest common denominator. They figured that people would be able to work a bolt action, so they kept millions and millions, kept building them, and then they stored them all, and that's why there's so many available now around the world still. And every once in a while, I know that I saw pictures of gun caches in Afghanistan and Iraq and stuff that were discovered. And inevitably, it had a whole bunch of old bolt-action Mosin Nagants. And they just keep working. They go bang when you pull the trigger. So,
you know, they could give them to any farmer, you know, any rice grower, and he knew how to shoot it and work it. And I think I told you about my friend before whose chopper went down in Nam. And he's sitting in this grassy area, and they're shooting at him from the jungle. They're shooting at him, and they're continually missing the helicopter. And finally, relief came in and got him out of there. And he's wondering, how could they possibly miss? And it's because they were always taught to lead the helicopter when they shot at it.
Oh, geez. And so, yes, I remember that story now. So here they are leading it, even though it shot down on the ground. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Well, they followed orders, right? So
yeah. All right. Oh, by the way, I'm applying for my CPL via mail or internet on Monday, so we'll see how long that takes, Washtenaw County.
It took me like a week. So hopefully it'll go that. I think it was less than a week, but when you counted the mail, it took a week and a day or something. So pretty amazing.
Cool. As long as it's not slowed down like Wayne County.
Yep. Yep. And they're getting, like I just mentioned in the story, there's a lawsuit against them now to try and get them to properly pass them. And I think, you know, we got held up on a state level for CPLs on the initial ones. But then now, I think you heard me say, we were up 10,000, and we had even with 13,000 expired ones. So we're pumping out 23,000 new ones a month now. So that's pretty cool.
Given all the gun sales, somebody's got to get registered, right?
Yep. We're going to talk about that next, actually.
Cool.
So
have a great day.
Okay.
Bye.
You have a
Happy Easter
weekend,
day.
Too.
Bye.
Bye. So the National Shooting Sports Foundation came out with, and I got to check and make sure I don't have any other messages there. Okay. The National Shooting Sports Foundation came out with their adjusted NICS. Okay. Now, the adjusted NICS is actually, they take the FBI's raw background data, and then they adjust them to take out checks that are done for like permit renewals and stuff. So if you look at the raw number of NICS checks, you might go, holy cow, there's a lot. I mean, look at that. And I'll give you those numbers in a minute. But also, the thing is that when people do a You know, they come in to buy a gun and they do a NICS check and stuff like that. That's one thing, but they also do a NICS check on them when they renew their CPLs. So they have to strip those out, okay? So they've got some numbers that are kind of watered down. They don't sound watered down. They're still over 2 million, almost, let's see, 2,100, something like that in March, okay, which, by the way, is still a huge increase, but it's a little less than last year's March because they had like over 2,250,000 last year because of all the pandemic stuff and pandemic buying. But if you actually look at the NICS checks themselves, it is at a record this last month in March. Again, you'd have to strip out to get the adjusted numbers. But still, there were 4,645,609 NICS checks in March. Now, that may, there's a couple of things about that. First of all, remember that some states, there are actually 25 states that currently do not require the state to do a NICS check if the person has a CPL. So that's half the states. And so in Michigan, by the way, we talked about this a week or 2 weeks ago, where Michigan used to be one of those states that didn't require a NICS check. But now the federal government says you have to do a NICS check in Michigan because Michigan relaxed its recreational marijuana laws, which is still against the federal law for having us, buying a firearm. So we fell back on the wrong side of it where they have to call in a NICS check. The other thing is, so let's say that 25.2% of the, 50% of the states don't need to do a NICS check. And we still ended up with 4,645,000. So each one of those, while they may not be a gun sale, they indicate some level of gun activity, either a CPL renewal or something like that. And by the way, there are at least 50% of the states, period, may have gun sales that are not showing up in the NICS checks because of the way the laws are set up. So 4,691,000, it shows. Last month was 3,400,000. The month before, 4,300,000. So in reality, the first quarter of 2021 is the highest first quarter record ever. So, it is amazing. And something, you got to think. Now, how long is, I don't remember how many days Biden's been president now, but what happened to all this? This first day, I'm going to sign an executive order. I'm going to have a bill on my desk and sign the first day. And you know what? When you've got, 4.6 million people a month buying guns, signing up for CPLs and stuff like that, maybe it's not so popular, okay? And you got to think about that. Now, of course, why are there's two surefire gun ways to increase those gun sales. One is to talk about gun control, okay, which they've been doing nonstop since before they were inaugurated and since they've been inaugurated. And the other is to see a mass shooting, where you know they're going to use it to push more gun control. Now, interestingly enough, they haven't done that so much. Do you know they didn't push a whole lot of gun control when it came to the Atlanta shootings? Why? Well, because it was a guy with a sex addiction, blah blah blah. And both sides, he used a handgun, and we're not going after handguns, even though they're used in like 97% of the shootings. Okay. The fact is that the narrative wasn't that good. Ah, then they got Boulder, Colorado. All right, Boulder. Oh, well, wait a minute. That guy's name is Ahmed Awasi or something like that. We can't do that. He's a sympathizer for ISIS. So we can't use that one for gun control. That'll actually get people more interested in buying guns for protection. Okay. Well, let's see. What about out in Orange County? Well, that's a mass shooting. They killed four people. No, that was a guy who had a business dispute, and he knew everybody, and he locked him in. So that's not a good example. We can't use that for gun control. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, here's a guy that just slammed in. One of those right-wing nut jobs that just slammed into the Capitol, the barricades and stuff. And then he came out and wait a minute. He had a knife. Oh, gosh. And it happens to be a Nation of Islam follower. That's not going to fit. We can't use that even to talk about right-wing nut jobs. So, okay. So, yeah, you know, things are not going the way they planned when it came to all the things that magically start taking place and turn into things to promote gun control. Let's see. The Iowa governor signed a constitutional carry bill. That's outstanding. So they now join a whole lot of other states that are doing constitutional carry. By the way, constitutional carry bills, those people don't need to have NICS checks to carry because if they already have the gun. Now, if they buy a gun, they have to do a NICS check. So that'll count in there. But if they already have their handguns, and they decide that now Iowa signed the constitutional carry bill, and that's Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed a constitutional bill into law Friday afternoon, just yesterday afternoon, joining Utah governor and Montana governor in approving permitless carry measures this year. So that's three more states that do permitless carry this year. So, and by the way, you know, these, I got to say, Republican governors are stone cold foxes, I got to tell you. So, as opposed to Governor Whitmer, who is Cruella DeVille. Let's see. Oh, gosh, I shouldn't say that because that's making it sound like a witch or something. Didn't somebody get in trouble for that? Ron Wexler or something like that just got in trouble for talking like that. Let's see. Here's something I ran across that made me, actually, I've ordered them. I haven't got it yet. But I'm a flashlight geek. I think I've told you all that numerous times. And I carry a Phoenix PD-35 right now. And I've misplaced my PD-22. So I got to look for that one again. But I came across a one that I really like. And it's a company called Olight, which is very, very popular. And they've got a new one out called an Olight I3T EOS. And it's, you know, the ones I carry use the CR123, kind of like the fat short battery. And it's very comfortable, but it's more like for jeans and things like that. If you're wearing dress pants somewhere, you'd like to have something a little slimmer and easier to hide. And the thing is that this Olight I3T EOS uses one AAA battery. And you know what? You might go, gosh, that doesn't sound like much. But it actually has 180 lumens, which I got to say, I have some weapons lights that are from a couple of years ago that were 150 and 180 lumens, and they seemed super bright back then. Well, now they're 400 and 500 lumens for new ones. It doesn't decrease their effectiveness, okay? Well, this one here is, and it's, I got to say, it's $19.95 for a black one or a green one or something like that. They do have some that are titanium and other pretty colors that cost more. But Olight IT3 EOS, and I'm saying, I can't wait. Mine will be here Monday. I'll give you a first-person report next week, but I think it looks like a winner. So pretty cool thing. When we get back, we'll talk Colt just released another revolver. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And boy, I love that intro with the Paul Revere and the Raiders. That, you know, that's like, oh, let's see, 66 in the BBs. That would be 55 years ago, believe it or not. And it still sounds good. So at least to me, it sounds good. And there's many of you out there that still enjoy that, that too, as I'm sure. Let's see. You know, Colt has made a comeback this, and, you know, they've gone through some selling of their business and stuff like that. But Colt has made a good comeback this last couple of years with the revolvers, okay? They started out with the Python, which everybody was clamoring for because they love the Python, okay? Then they came out with the King Cobra, and just this last week, they announced the Colt Anaconda. They got to have the, they always call them the snake guns, right? Well, they're not snake guns because you shoot snakes with them. They're snake guns because they're named after snakes, like the Cobra, the Python, the Anaconda. I don't know if there's a, I don't think they do like a garter snake one, but the Colt Anaconda is really a cool gun. It is a larger framed, like an upsized Python receiver, and it's beautiful. It's in 6 and 8 inch barrel with a full underlug and a ventilated rib. It's just a beautiful gun. So it's kind of pricey, but not that bad. $14.99, and I gotta say, that's the MSRP, and that's just out of the chute when they first come out. We have got Tom from Detroit with a question about older ammo. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi. I've heard some things about, you know, well, older ammo and basically smokeless powder, if it's safe to shoot or not. And there's one source that I thought was fairly reliable that said that when smokeless powder starts to break down, if you use it, actually the pressures go up. Except then after a while, then it starts to drop off. In other words, you know, you'd have, there'd be a time period in there where the rounds would be, you know, too hot. Maybe wouldn't be safe or, you know, right. Might wreck the firearm. And then after that, presumably it would still go bang, but it wouldn't be optimum loads, you know. I was just wondering if you had any information about that.
No, I got to tell you, and I've actually got an article that I've got at the end of my thing about people who have decided to try using black powder to reload ammo. Because some things like the old 45-70s and stuff like that, those were original. And actually, there was before the 30-30 was the first cartridge that came out with smokeless powder. And I got to say, here is my opinion on it. Don't. I would have to think, I mean, if you had, you know, 10,000 rounds of black powder in a cartridge, I would consider breaking them down or disposing of them as opposed to, you know, for example, when you just said it can rise up to a point and then it starts to fall off. And how do you know when that is? Where are you along that curve? I just don't think it would be worth it.
Well, I was talking about smokeless powder, actually. I presumably you'd have to...
You're talking modern powders.
You know, if you're getting, like, you know, super, super high velocities, you know that it's got to have a higher pressure. Especially the old smokeless powder, I mean, they didn't have the slower powders back... Some of that 8mm was going around. It's got head stamps from the 40s. It's got like little square little flakes in there.
Yeah.
And
I don't know why I heard black powder, and that's what I was talking about. I would consider smokeless powders to be usable. I shoot, I've got some 8mm Mauser with 1936, 1937 Turkish head stamps on them. Now they are corrosive because they have corrosive primers in them. But and so you need to clean, just like if you have old 7.62 by 54R, you know, old Russian, a lot of that is corrosive and you need to clean the gun with ammonia afterwards. But I don't worry about anything in the smokeless realm. I could imagine. And how many people have a chronograph to be able to measure velocities, right?
Well, I measured some of that 8mm. I still got some left. And, you know, it was over 20 years ago when I chronographed it. And I was getting like, it's a 150 grain bullet. Even feet per second. But that was out of that, I don't know, what those real long Turkish mouths, I don't know, was that a 29-inch barrel or so? I don't know.
You cut out a little bit. What were you getting for velocities?
I was getting around 3,000 for 150 grain, which I figured was, you know, basically 30-06 speed because of the long barrel.
Yeah. I want to say, and I've got these ones that are in the 30s too, and I have not seen anything unusual in firing them. I have not done a chronograph on them. That would be an interesting test. I might have to think about that. But I don't worry about the smokeless powders. And I believe that any of the guns that are stamped, you know, for modern smokeless powders with, you know, like a 30-06 or something like that, would take any of the pressures that it would probably take. I got to say, I would be more concerned with it deteriorating or having been stored improperly, and you get more of a squib load on it. You know what I mean?
Well, I've never had any squibs, but I just know that, you know, they tell you how to, not you, if the powder is breaking down, you know, it has a smell to it. But yeah, if it's loaded in the ammo, it's sealed in there pretty good. So
yeah, the only thing would be, and especially if it's like military ammo and it's got sealed primers on it, you know, with the lacquer around them and stuff like that. So
I'm going to have to chronograph some of those next time I go out and see if there's any difference.
Yeah, you might pull around, pull a bullet, and smell the powder. Of course, you might even have some of the old ones back in, was it World War I, when they were using film, acetate as a powder.
Yeah, I found some in some old 303s I had.
Yeah, I got to move on. I got a couple of people waiting. Thanks for the call today.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, bye-bye. We got Ray from Lincoln Park on the phone with a comment about Gretchen Whitmer. I had to get to this one. Ray, what's your comment?
Hey, real quick, Dick. To keep them out of trouble, I like the Three Stooges analogy for those three, the Whitmer, Benson, and Nestle. That would make a great T-shirt and a great bumper sticker for some enterprising Michigander.
Yep.
Can you imagine that with the bowl type haircut on Whitmer or Nestle? And the Three Stooges, I think, is probably a better analogy.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
Yeah. Bye bye. We've got Dan from Flint on the phone with a question about NFA items. Hi, Dan.
Howdy, howdy, sir. Hey. I was at a gun show and I was supposed to pick up some items, and I had one in my hand, and the gentleman told me it was an NFA item and that unless I had the proper credentials, I could not purchase it. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't putting something into my AR that was going to get me in trouble. So is it down to the component level what constitutes an NFA item? So the bulk carrier group that I purchased is one of the full weight ones. Is that going to get me in trouble? Is it the trigger? Is it individual components of the trigger?
It would be, well, for people who don't know, NFA are those regulated items that require a tax stamp to be able to purchase. And like for an AR, especially when you're talking about that, I want to say it usually has to do with trigger groups and selectors and things like that, and having a receiver that's drilled for it. Okay. Also, it could be you know, NFA item in the terms of a suppressor. But I don't believe, I'd have to check, but I don't believe that a, you know, I mean, if you've got a machine gun bolt in a gun that is not a fully automatic or select fire gun, then you have not, I don't think you've broken the law, but that's interesting. I will check that, okay?
Yeah, so the hammer, for example, that would not be.
I want to say, I don't think the hammer's any different. I do know that there are trigger groups and hammers that are the ones that are like, what do they call them? Duplex or whatever, where it fires on the pull and it fires on the release.
Yeah, binary.
Binary, yeah. And but those are not, even those are not an NFA item. So you were looking at the bolt group and you were looking at what else? A hammer?
I'm looking down, given that it was just an individual component that I was looking at, I was wondering if, you know, if I put that component into my weapon, whether or not it was going to make me illegal.
Well, if you put I would think that if you had a machine gun bolt, or you had a hammer, that I don't know that there's a difference in the hammer. So I'll have to look at that. But the point is that if the gun is not otherwise a select fire gun, I can't imagine that it would make any difference. But,
yeah.
You know, because then it's just a surplus hammer. The thing is that selector switches and having a receiver drilled to accept some of the things that need to go in there to make it select fire, that would be a different case. So,
okay.
You know, so that's a one, very good story.
One pew good, pew, pew, pew bad.
I'm sorry?
I said one pew good, pew, 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 pew. That's bad.
Well, you know, there's actually a story today that a Detroit judge just ruled that the executive action and stuff on the bump stocks was illegal. So that story's not over yet either.
Yeah, I'd read that. That's good news.
Yep. Very good. Thanks for the call today. Thanks for listening up in Flint. Appreciate it. That's interesting, because there are people that try to work around things like NFAs. And I'll give you a good example. There are, and you can see these sometimes online, and you see them sometimes in, not in a reputable magazine, but in, maybe one of these that's more ads than magazines. And they will try to do something. For example, they're selling fuel filters, okay? And it looks remarkably like a suppressor, okay? It has essentially the shape like a tube. It has baffles in it that have holes in it. And they say, this is a, believe it or not, they actually call it like a 9mm fuel filter. Or a 40 caliber, 10 millimeter fuel filter. And so they're trying to sell these things as fuel filters. And in reality, they are theoretically suppressors. And in some cases, they would be suppressors except for maybe one baffle or something, and they have to drill it out. And they try to do this stuff. Many of these things come from China, okay? They are manufactured over there, and they come. Now, by the way, I was watching and I read an article on it, and then I looked up the YouTube on it. And one of the things is that this was for a 223, and the guy said he was going to do a test on it. So he puts the fuel filter on his firearm, which happens to be also, the fittings are remarkably exactly the same as the thread patterns on a drilled or a threaded barrel. And he puts it on and he starts shooting. Okay. Well, the fuel filter is made out of aluminum, not steel. And after a half a dozen rounds, it starts to bulge. And after 20 rounds, it blows apart. Okay, so, you know, and in that case, you've got shrapnel and things like that. And I want to say it's not worth the risk you're taking, both in bodily injury as well as regulatory, okay? If you really want to have a suppressor, pay the $200 tax stamp and buy a suppressor, okay? Now, I know these fuel filters are like $39. What a bargain. But not if it's going to blow up, not if it's going to be illegal, okay? So the thing is that now I would say we have to count on, I guess we'll have to get some regulatory muscle back in terms of the Senate and the House to ever be able to talk about suppressors and the silence. They call it a silencer bill, but they call it like the Listening or Hearing Protection Act or something like that. You'll never get that through now. So we have to take that kind of thing back. And then it can be just like, you know, you can buy a suppressor in England of all places where guns are so regulated and they're sold at if you are going to a gun store, they're sold in a bubble pack on the counter, okay? Because people realize that they are not an evil thing to have. So at any rate, very good call. Thanks for the call today, guys. Let's see. Remington Ammo is back in operation. Their Lone Oak, Arkansas plant is now up and running again, so they're hoping that will ease some of the restrictions. And by the way, they've got a new website. It's just remington.com, and they talk about all their different ammos. And, you know, the old green box, it's like Big Green, they call it, and the old green and yellow core locks and stuff. But they also have a lot of modern ammo. So I'd suggest take a look. Go to Remington.com and take a look at their website. Look at their ammo offerings. They've got it, you know, listed by pistol, rifle, shotgun, and rimfire. And hopefully their rimfire, they're going to upgrade a little bit so that they don't end up having all these squib loads in there where the primers aren't fully distributed around the base. Let's see. Oh, I thought this was interesting. It's a fairly new article. Taurus has upped its game when it comes to its manufacturing and stuff. I would not hesitate to have a Taurus pistol at all right now. And they've got a lot of like new 22s, the TX-22 and stuff, but they also have some good old revolvers. And one of the ones that they're pushing is 942, and it's actually the 942M. I was reading about it, which is an 8-shot 22 Magnum snub nose. What an outstanding thing, and it's reasonably priced. It's 8 shots. It comes in stainless or blued. It is pretty much a copy of a Smith & Wesson 6.42. But the thing is that it is a well-made 8-shot 22 Magnum. If you are recoil adverse and stuff like that, and a 22 Magnum has a decent amount of energy. There are some rounds that do well. We did a test on it. Tom from Northfield Township and I did the tests on the 22, the rimfires, and looked at both 22 long rifle, which did surprisingly well, and the 22 mags, which usually had not as much as expansion as I would have liked, but some of them, in particular, rounds that are made exclusively for self-defense did have, and especially the Hornady's with the little initiators in them. But when I look at this, let's see, the Hornady Critical Defense, the Browning BPR, those different ammos had pretty good expansion. So at any rate, it is, let's see, it weighs, 23 ounces. It holds eight rounds, 2-inch barrel, and the MSRP is $408. I got to believe they'll be going for, $350 or something like that, which is reasonable, maybe even below that, maybe $299, because Taurus tends to discount pretty heavily. Let's see. What have we got here? Senate gun control not assured. Yeah, they are actually having a lot of people pushing back on the gun control stuff now. And that just makes the gun control crowd nuts and crazy, because they want to go out and they want to, let's get it now, get it now, get it now. Well, there's going to be a lot of litigation and stuff that has to do with any gun control. Guys like Joe Manchin and Christine Sinema and John Tester. These are all people. He's from Montana. John Tester is. These are all people that are reasonable Democrats, and maybe not in all aspects, but when it comes to the Second Amendment. And they're not going to get the vote. So it's not going to be a 50-50 tie. And it's then decided by Kamala Harris, it's going to be something less than that. So they don't want to have the defeat. So that's why you're not seeing the stuff come through yet. By the way, there's 100 members of Congress that signed a letter demanding that Joe Biden reclassify AR pistols under the NFA Act of 1934. Here's the NFA again talking about things like short-barreled rifles and stuff. And they think that the AR-15 pistols should be classified as a short-barreled rifle and have a $200 tax stamp. So they're trying to, by the way, Joe Biden, I don't remember, what did he call it, an AR-14 or an AR-16 or something like that, but he wouldn't know a short-barreled pistol if it smacked him in the butt, okay? So, you know, unless somebody told him while he's, as Theron says, he's out on the screen porch watching his shows with the blanket on the crossed his knees, and somebody said, "Joe, here's an AR pistol. Don't you think we should ban these things?" That's the only way he would know it. Okay. Let's see. What else have we got? Senator Schumer, he's hanging. He calls the gun industry the arbiter of evil and hangs sinful label on firearm retailers. You know what? Some of the things that are going on out there, like in Iowa and other states like that, they're actually passing bills that prevent, that are preventing incursion into the PLCAA, the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. And so it's not going to be an easy slam dunk for these guys pushing all these things. By the way, I want to say Cory Booker is pushing for having a federal gun license for everybody, but no voter ID. That would be racist to have a voter ID, because apparently anybody who is not white is too stupid to know how to get a voter ID. Okay, so but not a gun license. No. We can require that, because they can all go out and get those, but they can't have a. They can't have a voter ID because, our people, that would be discriminatory. That would be too tough for them. Yeah, they need it for a bank account or for writing checks and getting airplane tickets and stuff like that. But no, not for voting. That would be discriminatory. So, any rate, let's see. Maryland background check bill is defeated. How about that? They were trying to do it as a state bill. For a House bill for the universal background checks and for ammunition checks, and it was defeated. Maybe there is hope out there. Don't give up hope, guys. We've got a lot of people fighting for us, a lot of people working for this, and the Second Amendment will not fall easily. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WAM Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll see you next week. Have a nice Easter.